This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The Supreme Court will hear its first case arising from the government's anti-terrorism campaign following the September 11th attacks, agreeing to consider whether foreigners held at a U.S. Navy base in Cuba should have access to American courts. The appeals came from British, Australian, and Kuwaiti citizens held with more than 600 others suspected of being Taliban or Al-Qaeda foot soldiers. Most were picked up in U.S. anti-terrorism sweeps in Afghanistan following the 9/11 attacks of 2 years ago. The court combined the men's appeals and will hear the consolidated case sometime next year. Iraqis marched in anger through the streets of Baghdad Monday after the killing of an American-appointed local Iraqi council leader by U.S. military guards under disputed circumstances, according to the Washington Post. The shooting pointed up the increasingly tense relationship between the American occupiers and Iraqis installed by the United States in official positions. The council leader, Mohammed Kaabi, was approaching the council offices in a car Sunday and apparently got into some sort of argument with soldiers who wanted to search his car. A U.S. spokesman said the victim went for the weapon of one of the American guards and was shot by a second soldier in response. Local witnesses reported no attempt by the leader to seize a weapon from the soldier. Former Vice President Al Gore accused George W. Bush on Sunday of failing to make the country safer after the September 11th attacks and using the war against terrorism as a pretext to consolidate power. He also said in a speech sponsored by the website MoveOn.org that the Bush administration still has no serious strategy for domestic security, charging that there aren't sufficient protection in place for ports, nuclear facilities, chemical plants, and other key infrastructure. He brought the crowd of 3,000 to their feet when he called for a repeal of the Patriot Act, which expanded government's surveillance and detention power, allowing authorities to monitor books people read and conduct secret searches. More after this.
Make a fast friend. Adopt an ex-racing greyhound. Greyhound Pets of America is a national nonprofit organization that finds loving homes for these friendly, loving ex-racers. Greyhounds make fantastic pets because they thrive on attention, generally get along great with children and other animals, and are usually pretty easy to housebreak. Call Greyhound Pets of America at 800-366-1472. Greyhound Pets of America, 800-366-1472.
A Norwegian family may use a state radio surveillance device to help track down their 6-year-old son if he runs away, an Oslo appeals court has ruled. The court overturned a decision by a welfare office which said the parents should keep a closer eye on the boy. The ruling determined that the boy needed extra care because he suffered from autism and was prone to running off. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when we cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved LiquiCaps.
In addition to being genetically disposed to greed, do CEOs of big corporations also carry the stupid gene? Take the case of Dick Davidson, CEO of Union Pacific Railroad. It's now our nation's largest rail corporation, having swallowed up such other companies as Southern Pacific, the MKT, Chicago and Northwestern, and others. Apparently, though, Dick is not content merely to control the big trains, for he's also making a grab for the miniature ones, as in model trains. How stupid. Like a bear being chased by thousands of angry bees, Dick has incurred the wrath of everyone from model train makers to the hobbyists and kids who buy the models. What's up is that Union Pacific has suddenly demanded that model train makers pay it a royalty on all sales of trains that bear not only its logo, but also the logos of any of the former railroads that it absorbed. As the outraged editor of Mainline Modeler magazine put it, The Union Pacific has interposed itself into the model railroad industry, demanding a percentage of revenues without any investment whatsoever. It's simply a method of skimming a profit without providing a service. It is an outstanding example of greed. Over the years, railroad corporations, including Union Pacific, have been delighted to be the subjects of model trains, seeing it as a form of flattery, free promotion, and goodwill. For it now to threaten and demand loot from these small modeling companies is an act of PR suicide. Sure enough, train buffs are fighting back against what they now call the Great Yellow Goliath. Among other actions, they're organizing UP stockholders and buying stock themselves so they can go to next spring's shareholder meeting en masse to rail against Dick's railroad job. This is Jim Hightower saying, Dick stupidly is buying a trainload of ill will by trying to collect this pittance in royalties. Tell him to wise up. 402-271-5000.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening. Geez, that's loud. Maybe it's a Vicodin. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. I understand we're having a little bit of a problem with our phones right now, so if you're trying to call in and you're getting some kind of a weird signal, be patient. We'll get it worked out. This is, after all, IE America Radio. It's all held together by spit, string, and some faith. I'm back from dental hell. Let me tell you something. If anybody ever tells you that you need to have a bone graft in your mouth, question that. Because I have, two of them? Two bone grafts, two extractions. This is all preparatory work for implants that are coming in maybe 6 months from now. But I'll tell you something. To call this dental surgery is like calling, it's like calling a nuclear bomb a loud explosion. It was just, and I apologize for a bit. You know, I don't want anyone to think I misled you. I was going to be going Monday and Tuesday. There's no way in hell to come back before this evening. It was... it's one of the nastiest things I've ever gone through, and but I'm back. You don't want to hear about this. You don't want to hear about this crap. But it was really, really ugly. I'm in pain as we speak, but that's because I stopped taking Vicodin. Had to quit. Couldn't get any OxyContin, so it remains painful. I got a mouthful of stitches. That's going to continue for a while, and... eventually, I'll be able to go on CNN and smile and have real teeth, which is what this is all about. Not that I mean, I've got real teeth now, but they've had to, well, never mind. Also tonight, we will have some quotes from Donald Rumsfeld. Some of the things he had to say about his definition of success in Iraq. I tell you what I'd like to do tonight. I guess the phones are switched over now. Okay, the phones are switched over. Since it's been, it feels like I haven't been on this program in weeks. I swear to God. And part of it is because of the kind of haze that I was in during the better part of a week. I think I stopped taking the drugs. What, Kathy? On Friday? Friday just passed. Open your mic. Wasn't it Friday?
Do you know what day today is?
I think, yeah, hell yes, it's Wednesday, isn't it?
It's always Wednesday.
It's always Wednesday. So I think what we're going to do tonight, I've got some topics here I want to bring up, some stuff that has happened. Long about last Thursday, I managed to get in front of the computer at home and start pulling up stories and reading emails and so on and so forth, and it was a pretty grim picture. I had a feeling, when was it, last Friday, to just go ahead and empty the bottle of Vicodin and follow it with a half a bottle of Jack Black and say to hell with it. I mean, things are really getting scary out there, folks, really scary. Before we proceed, though, John Lucas, who is one of the creative geniuses at IE America Radio in Detroit, and I mean that, he is also an engineer at our home office. He put together something. Now, Kathy's listening to this. I haven't heard it, but this is something to say about the surgery that I had and the foggy world that I got into.
Mike Malloy, a Democratic political talk show host, lives a normal life. He has a lovely wife and a nice house. And other than high blood pressure, Mike couldn't really ask for a better life. But Mike never realized how good his life was until it took a turn into the wrong direction when he walked into the Twilight Zone. Taught all through his childhood to take care of his teeth and kept that goal all through his life, always brushing after every meal and flossing when he was supposed to. Mike had some really good chops, so he thought. Something went wrong and Mike had to get some major work done on his teeth. You see, Mike had to take painkillers and he started to like it a bit too much. Man, do I feel good. I can't feel a thing. These pills are great. The dentist told Mike that he would be able to go back to work in a couple of days. But 2 weeks later, Mike was still sitting at home on the phone trying to get his prescription refilled. But the doctor said, no, you should be fine.
No!
Mike shouted.
I need some painkillers now!
After Mike was arrested for breaking into a Walgreens pharmacy, Kathy and Mike realized Mike had a problem. He was addicted to painkillers. So the following day, Mike checked himself into a rehab center. Ah, jeez. The truth seekers are gonna have to deal with all the right-wing media crap without me for a few days. At least that freak Rush Limbaugh is out of commission. The next few days were really hard, but Mike was determined to get back on his feet. How in the hell did this happen? Mike thought to himself. This can't get any worse.
Nice to meet you. I'm sure glad they put somebody in here for me to talk to.
A voice came from the darkness. It was a man with it all really isn't a man that has it all together, especially when he's in the Twilight Zone.
So that's what that was all about. John Lucas in our Detroit, in our home office. Nice, John. I can imagine John smoking a doobie and putting that together, right? Oh, wow. It hurts to laugh. It just does. It just hurts to laugh. Thanks for the e-cards that were sent, too. We got a considerable number of email get-well cards. Thank you so much. That was, I don't remember them, of course, but Kathy said the bunch game. I have no idea what she's talking about. And but she said, oh, honey, you ought to see it. The cards of people are sending. Yeah, okay. So how about, let's start with a horror story here. Who sent this in? Michael? I guess you heard about Linda Tripp. Did we mention this last week? I think we mentioned it just right before hitting the ozone. Here's how it starts out. Secretly, illegally, tape record phone conversations with your very young and very trusting new friend. Encourage her. Prod her into seducing her employer. Take it upon yourself to insert yourself into the private life of the President of the United States. Give the tapes to an overzealous, moralizing special prosecutor seeking to bring down the popular president, no matter how much it cripples his presidency, stagnates Congress from getting anything done, and demoralizes the entire country. No matter. Become the very willing and publicity-hungry center of several years-long media storm. Become chagrined that most Americans think very poorly of you for betraying your friend and sticking your nose into other people's private lives. Retreat from the spotlight and have plastic surgery on your face so now Americans can't recognize you as that nosy, backstabbing bitch Linda Tripp. Publicly take out ads and solicit donations from people due to your sudden poverty and having to sell your house. Blame the Bill Clinton political machine for all of your problems. Remain unrepentant. File a lawsuit against U.S. government for them invading your privacy. And ka-ching, Linda Tripp gets $595,000 from the U.S. taxpayers in the settlement of a privacy suit. Yeah, the Reuters news agency reports it that way. The U.S. government will pay over $500,000, the U.S. government, that's you and me, to Linda Tripp. As part of a settlement of lawsuits that accused U.S. officials of violating her privacy. Can you believe this woman has balls the size of Mars, doesn't she? Huh? Can you believe this? She files a suit against U.S. government for violating her privacy. Her privacy. A writer says, Ms. Tripp's secretly taped conversations with Monica Lewinsky fueled the sex scandal that almost brought down former President Bill Clinton. Tripp transferred to a job at the Pentagon from the White House after news of her tape recordings became public. Tripp sued the Defense Department and the U.S. government for privacy violations, including a charge that officials leaked information that she was interviewing for a job at a lower rank and salary than her old job. Well, that should be worth $500,000, shouldn't it, Kathy? Huh? Under the settlement, Tripp will be paid a lump sum of $595,000, and that's not all, Johnny. She also will receive a retroactive increase in her pay grade, which will be used to recalculate her retirement benefits. In exchange, she will dismiss her lawsuits. Linda Tripp gets $500,000 to settle a case she brought that the federal government violated her privacy. Balls the size of Mars. Or Planet X. Unbelievable stuff. Another story that caught my eye. Oh, God, that just, wait a minute, I have to stop here for a second. You know, pain be damned. I mean, that story just drives me insane. Linda Tripp gets $600,000 in an out-of-court settlement because she said her privacy was violated. Jesus. I don't know. Another one of those stories from Parallel Universe. Did you hear what happened over here in Goose Creek, South Carolina? Now, don't laugh. There is a little town called Goose Creek. Been there. Matter of fact, there was a band in the late 70s and into the 80s called Goose Creek Symphony. Remember them? There is a place, Goose Creek, South Carolina. What happened over there... last week, state police are investigating what happened, a drug sweep in which more than a dozen, that's 12, local ass-backward, redneck, southern, stupid-ass cops charged into a crowded high school hallway with their guns drawn and started handcuffing students. Why, you might ask? Well, this was a drug sweep. No drugs were found. No weapons were found. No drug-related arrests were made. Now, the video from CNN shows these students, dozens of them, some of them handcuffed. This looks like Columbine. They are lying out on the floor, their hands cuffed. And in the video, you can see cops with drawn guns, police dogs sniffing backpacks, bags strewn across the hall. One parent whose kid goes there said, I'm absolutely outraged. This is supposed to be a free country, not a police state. Boy, are you out of the loop, pal. This is George Bush's America. This is John Ashcroft's America. This is a police state. This is a fascist government in place. What does it take to wake people up to what's going on? Does it take stuff like this in Goose Creek, for Christ's sake, South Carolina, for people to realize? A prosecutor in that district told the Charleston Post in last Saturday's edition that he asked the state law enforcement division to look into possible police misconduct. He said, I don't think there's anything wrong at all with law enforcement addressing a problem in high school, but I have serious concerns about the need for restraining students and drawing weapons. Now, you'd think, wouldn't you, that if somebody was suspected of carrying a pack of reefer into the school or some hillbilly heroin, that the principal or the dean of boys, dean of girls, would have called the kids into the office and said, hey, got a complaint against you. Oh, no, that's not how we do it in this country now. We bring in armed police with weapons drawn to handcuff and throw kids on the floor. That's where we are. This is George Bush's America. Hello.
Get away now! Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bats.
Show. We caught somebody doing something right. Fred D'Amato, Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania. He put a sign out in his front yard says, support our troops, impeach the Bush administration. Of course, Mount Pocono jumped all over him. The borough councilman, Francis O'Boyle, said, the last couple words is what's the problem. I don't think it's right to put up a sign like that and say those things. The lawyer says it's protected First Amendment speech. John Finnerty, the borough council president, says, well, if we could all express our thoughts on a piece of plywood, just think what the neighborhood would look like. It might be a slight infringement of First Amendment rights, making him take down his sign. He's facing $500 a day fines for not having his sign. However, the story in the newspaper of Mount Pocono, New York, says that D'Amato removed the sign, but on Sunday said he planned to put it back up again. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So in Goose Creek, South Carolina, about a dozen state police break into a high school with guns drawn to conduct a drugs and weapons sweep. Huh? According to one of the students who was on NBC's Today Show last Saturday, the students didn't know what was happening. When the cops came in, the kids said, I was frightened because they had guns in their hands. I thought one of the guns was going to go off and shoot or kill somebody, so I just got down on my knees, covered my head for protection. The Goose Creek Police Lieutenant Dave Aaron said the guns were drawn, quote, as a matter of officer safety, end quote. Oh, yeah, you cowardly little bastards. What do you mean, officer safety? You punks. Going into a high school, Kathy, Jesus Christ, with guns drawn and vicious dogs. And these creeps, these thugs, say it's a matter of officer safety. This guy ought to be run out of Goose Creek. You know, the people in Goose Creek ought to get some ropes and chase these people out of town and just threaten to lynch them if they don't leave. That's a good, strong word in the South. That really raises blood pressure when you use the word lynch in the South. Huh? This police lieutenant said, I don't think it was an overreaction. Anytime you have qualified information regarding drugs and large amounts of money, there's a reasonable assumption weapons are involved. What? The officers handcuffed students who failed to, quote, respond to repeated police instruction, close quote. The only charge stemming from the raid involved a ninth grader who was cited for allegedly filing a false police report. She said an officer shoved her to the ground during the search. So school officials and the girl's parents reviewed a video surveillance tape of the hall where she said she was shoved to the ground, and the girl wasn't in the hall at that time. So she got arrested. These bastards. I'll tell you what. This is not only is this obscene. It's so George Bush. It is so John Ashcroft, isn't it? Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? I haven't. Well, it's not too late. 26 minutes past the hour. John Dingell wrote a letter to Congressman John Dingell, Michigan, wrote a letter to CBS's director of programming, Moonves. What's his first name? Dear Mr. Moonves, I write to you with regard to your upcoming miniseries, The Reagans. I share the concerns expressed by others that it may not present an accurate depiction of the Reagan administration and America during the 1980s. I trust that CBS will not be a party to a distorted representation of American history, and that the miniseries will present a fair and balanced portrayal of the Reagans, the 1980s, and their legacy. As someone who served with President Reagan, and in the interest of historical accuracy, please allow me to share with you some of my recollections of the Reagan years that I hope will make it into the final cut of the miniseries. $640 Pentagon toilet seats, ketchup as a vegetable, union busting, firing striking air traffic controllers, Iran-Contra, selling arms to terrorist nations, trading arms for hostages, retreating from terrorists in Beirut, lying to Congress, financing an illegal war in Nicaragua, visiting Bitburg Cemetery, a cozy relationship with Saddam Hussein, shredding documents, Ed Meese, Fawn Hall, Oliver North, James Watt, apologizing and agreeing to apartheid, the savings and loan scandal, voodoo economics, record budget deficits, double-digit unemployment, farm bankruptcies, trade deficits, Star Wars, influence peddling. I hope you find these facts useful in accurately depicting President Reagan's time in office. Yours, Congressman John Dingell. Yeah, what about CBS? The act of cowardice by CBS. Don't you want to slap somebody? I just want to slap somebody. It wasn't censorship, it was cowardice. We'll talk about that coming back. If you're not on the line here with me tonight, why not? 800 Talk Yes. Don't make me talk a lot tonight. I'll start gushing blood. 800-825-5937.
High places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A Montana official argues for greater local control over the nation's wildfire policies. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. For people in western states, wildfire is a constant concern, and many say local communities should decide how to deal with the risk. Mary Sexton is an elected commissioner for Teton County, Montana. She says locally run programs help people clear away combustible materials from their properties.
Programs whereby landowners have incentives and matching grants to build defensible space around their homes. We're not in an area where timber really is much of an option. We're fairly dry, it's inaccessible, and a lot of it isn't marketable anyway. So we have different needs.
Sexton says Teton County must continually seek money to pay to cut the risks of wildfire.
We've gotten some federal money, and also with some local funding and efforts and volunteer efforts, people have gone out and set up plans for homeowners, and the homeowners pay a little bit, and then there's a matching grant for it. So it's a mixture of funding.
Sexton says the Bush administration's Healthy Forest Initiative, which aims to reduce wildfire risk by thinning the national forests, won't help communities like hers. The program would reward loggers for thinning brush by letting them cut down healthy trees. But her area has little timber of value. She says the Healthy Forest Initiative is a one-size-fits-all approach that doesn't fit her Montana county.
Tailoring funding programs and assistance to really what the communities need. We're all different. We all have different species, different climates, different concerns, and I think that letting local communities have the flexibility to see where their needs are is really the best approach.
Sexton says the federal government could provide the most effective help by providing more funding for local fire control programs. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Yeah, just a couple of comments here on this. Not canceling of the Reagans from CBS, but moving it from CBS Network to Showtime. As an editorial in Philadelphia Inquirer said, I think Sunday, this was not a question of censorship by CBS. This was a question of cowardice. I don't get this. I really don't. The right wing decided that Saint Reagan, be careful, Mike. Useless blob of protoplasm, and he was that when he was president. Who for some reason the Republicans have deified. I mean, this guy was I don't know. He's just a piece of human waste. And I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about when he was in the Oval Office for 8 years. But they've deified this guy. This guy was the worst president other than George W. Bush in the history of this republic. Just the worst. But this shows you the standards that the Republicans set. Somebody like Ronald Reagan. So Ed Gillespie, the Republican National Committee chairman, sent a letter to the CBS president, Leslie Moonves, and the letter said, you know, we understand. Nobody has seen this thing, but some of the script got out and some of the comments. This is a docudrama. This is not presented as history any more than what happened on television last night about Jessica Lynch and Elizabeth Smart. Huh? Those were docudramas, too, and neither one of those had anything to do with truth. Now, I didn't watch them. Maybe some of you did, but I would have just as soon blown up the television as tried to watch a story, the Elizabeth Smart story. Somehow it managed to tell about a Mormon teenager's abduction by a Mormon extremist without mentioning Mormonism. Huh? How about that? Jessica Lynch, who's already come out, well, she's coming out Tuesday on... what is it, Primetime with Diane Sawyer? And she says the U.S. Army has used her, that the story is just that went on the network is absolutely untrue. She didn't have anything to do. Jessica Lynch had nothing to do with the production. NBC couldn't get her cooperation in that docudrama. So... But the American public sits there and watches. Yeah, hey, did you see this? Harriet, by God, this little girl's a hero, wasn't she? You know, and Jessica Lynch saying, none of this happened. None of this happened. Doesn't matter, though. Doesn't matter. And as far as this poor little Elizabeth Smart, that doesn't matter either. But when it concerns Reagan, oh, Jesus. Ronald Reagan, St. Ronald. St. Ronald. A docudrama of fiction based on somebody's already selective first draft of history, and the right wing goes just nuts? It's because they're thugs and punks and cretins. But for CBS to say, oh, yeah, you know, you're right. Gosh, we shouldn't try to distort history. Okay, we'll move it to Showtime. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Now, why aren't the Republicans protesting this? Remember, was it last week when all of a sudden every Republican in the United States was talking about the economic turnaround, the great economic news? It was on every news channel, every local paper, right? Hey, we turned the corner. Yeah, look at this. Hey, here's... But... More people were thrown out of work in October than in any single month in the past year, according to figures compiled by Challenger Gray and Christmas Incorporated. That's an employee outplacement company. October's 171,874 job cuts jumped 125% over September's, which were 76,506. It was the highest monthly figure since October of 2002. More people are being thrown out of work every day, every week, every month. So what do? We those of us who got it, I didn't, but the people who got a child tax credit went out and blew it at Walmart. The people who are stupid enough to refinance their homes and take the cash out and go blow it on something did that. People jacked their credit card debt. Where are we now? $2-3 trillion in consumer debt? When's the bubble going to burst? It really doesn't matter, does it? What does matter, though, is the Bush crime family touts these numbers and these figures. Oh, we turned the corner. See, I told you my tax cut for the wealthy would work. I don't know how to understand this. The person who runs Challenger Gray and Christmas said, in this market, job seekers are going to have to create opportunities for themselves. It may mean changing industries or looking for positions out of town. And in a poll of human resources executives conducted by this firm, more than three-quarters, 78%, do not expect to see any upturn in hiring until the second quarter of 2004. That's April, May, and June of next year. They expect to see it, maybe. None of the respondents predicted an upturn in the first quarter. 11% said hiring would pick up in the third or fourth quarter. And notably, 11% of those polled said there would be no hiring rebound at all in 2004. Every single thing the Bush administration or its thuggish spokespeople say is a lie. Now, I'm not saying the word you think I'm saying. Is a lie damned by God, which means it is a God-damned lie. Every single thing they say. Everything. Rob is calling from Washington, D.C. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Mike. You know, it's funny you're talking about this whole alleged bump, and it reminded me of when I was a kid and I used to come down the snow-covered hill and I'd hit one of those little ridges
uh-huh.
as I'm coming down the hill, and it would suddenly bounce me up into the air for a moment.
And you're talking about when you're on your toboggan.
Exactly,
or
that kind of
right.
a thing, exactly.
Right.
And actually, Ben has a really good chart on his site, White Rose Society, that shows basically what I'm talking about, that, you know, we're sliding down this hill into the hole of economic, you know, the depths of the economy, and we've had this little bump, and all of a sudden everything's great, and it's ridiculous.
It is so beyond ridiculous, because it shows, once again, the utter and absolute contempt that this administration has for the American people.
Just very true.
Total contempt, total disgust. They look at us as a bunch of ignorant sheep, and until we throw these bastards out, that is exactly what we are.
It's very true. And in contrast to that, I wanted to call you and tell you about the incredible experience that I had yesterday taking my family to hear Al Gore speak.
Oh, yeah. Do share that, because I've got some of the quotes that from that speech. I understand there are about 3,000 people inside, about another 1,000 outside. This is the MoveOn.org speech that Rob is talking about.
Exactly. And they packed the house. They picked a medium-sized place, and every single seat was filled, and it was really a tour de force on his part. I think that he demonstrated in many ways that, you know, so many of us were disappointed with the 2000 election, and we as Democrats and as liberals were taught to pick apart every little thing that he did, both before and after the campaign. But the more time that goes by, the more I become convinced that Al Gore really is a portrait in courage.
You know, I don't dispute that. I have a question, though. Why in the world was this Al Gore, and the Al Gore we've heard from a couple of times this year, why was that Al Gore not in evidence during the campaign and in the moment when democracy was being was having a knife stuck between its shoulder blades back on December of 2000? What I mean, did Al Gore need a couple of years to season to understand the truth of the political system here? I can't find an explanation. I can't.
I've thought about that long and hard too, but I think I'm coming to the conclusion, as in so many other things, when I examine, and, you know, as you know, I have an inside seat on a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I examine the long-term Machiavellian thinking of a lot of these Republican operatives, I really believe that they understood exactly what Gore could have done at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the problem is, well, okay, there's an old saying that you go with the person, you go with who brought you to
right.
the dance.
Right.
Okay? And when you spend your life working within the system, being a creature of the law
mm-hmm.
and of politics and of the political system, if he were to have turned around in the 2000 election and had counseled really anything too much different than what he did,
mm-hmm.
he would have been in violation of the law. He would have been essentially calling for the overthrow of this government. And for all kinds of reasons, not the least of which is what might occur in the next 5 years or 10 years,
mm-hmm.
he really could have been cutting off his nose to spite his face. And, you know, I'm coming to the conclusion that as hard as it was for him to keep his mouth shut, that as long as things don't completely explode, as long as the United States, and, you know, this is a big if, as long as we don't end up descending into a fascist regime, his position on this might have proved to be the wisest decision for him, after all.
Well, yeah, that does make sense. It does indeed. I guess, like a lot of people, I have a tendency to, you know, act first, think later. And in a situation like Gore was in, you're right, it could have involved him in something that would have destroyed him permanently.
Yeah, and you know, and that's fine for you and me. I think it goes back to the idea that we all have a role to play. And the things that you and I and others can get away with, and, you know, this is what I would say to all of the people who, you know, feel so strongly family that, you know, you should go out and take to the streets and so on and so forth. Well, you know, that may be the best action for you to take.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, we all have our situation and our role to play.
That's very true. Rob, thanks a lot for checking in. I'm glad for the report on Al Gore.
Thank you.
All right, you take care. 800-TALK, yes, is where we are. Spitfire is calling from Anaheim, California. Hey, Spitfire.
Hey. Yeah, I agree with that guy. Al Gore is basically, one of the things he said in his speech was he's a recovering politician.
Yeah, I heard that that particular soundbite.
Yeah. It called about Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
I have an interesting perspective. I have a friend who was there at the fall of the Berlin Wall speech.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently 3 weeks, you know, was the timeline that was given. They announced that they were going to tear down the wall.
Right.
And they were going to, the equipment was already on its way to do so. People were tearing down the wall already. People had already been for like 4 days walking back and forth across the border.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, the local papers there, this friend of mine that's in Denmark, he saw in the local paper that Reagan was going to be having a speech there. So he thought he'd attend. To his surprise, he saw that they were gathering the crowd together by giving away free beer. Okay, that's how they got people. They were basically, well, we're doing something for American television, and we need you to cheer when we hold up the cue cards. I know you don't understand English, but this is for American TV.
You may not understand English, but you do understand beer.
Yes, indeed. So basically, he got up there, and he ended up, apparently it took four takes. That speech took four takes before the crowd, you know, did the proper. It's ridiculous, you know. It was about as phony as the pulling down of the Saddam statue.
Yeah, the one thing that I remember, this is not the most important terrible thing that happened during the Reagan administration by any means, but the one that I remember, I think, most of all because of its hideous symbolism, was Ronald Reagan going to the cemetery in Bitburg, Germany.
Oh, that was awesome.
Wherein are buried some of the worst of the worst of the SS stormtroopers who had no problem executing just God knows how many thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of not just Jews, but Polish partisans, Italian freedom fighters, Yugoslav freedom fighters. I mean, it was just, these are people who, if there is a hell, these are the guardians, the sentries in hell, the SS, the stormtroopers. And there was Reagan, a brain-dead, addled Ronald Reagan, paying homage to SS dead and buried. That cemetery should be blown up. There should be a well-placed, small nuclear bomb dropped in there, and their corpses blown into, just atomized. I mean, these people personify Satan, and there's Ronald Reagan worshiping at the feet of these dead Nazis. That, to me, was totally encapsulated everything about the current Republican Party, the current regime. It was almost like a glimpse into the future to see Ronald Reagan there honoring these dead Nazis. And now look what we have. Jesus.
Somebody needs to look at the date that he did that.
Yeah.
See if it coincides with the day the Nazi died.
Yeah, I hear that.
Number one more thing.
Hey, Spitfire, thanks for checking in.
Sure.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. There was so much during the Reagan years that was so vile and disgusting and contemptuous, just like John Dingell's letter to Les Moonves at CBS. Hey, in the interest of historical accuracy, yeah, let me jump on the bandwagon here. You're going to tell the truth? Well, hell no, they weren't going to tell the truth. It was a docudrama. There's not enough time on commercial television to tell the truth about what happened to this country during the Reagan years. You know, the 246, 248 U.S. Marines were blown into a million pieces in Lebanon because the Reagan administration put them there in a barracks, totally exposed with no weapons, for Christ's sake. And then 3 days later, we invade Grenada to get that off the front pages of the newspapers and off television. And this was before there was a Fox. This was before, well, I guess there was CNN when that occurred, but CNN was brand new. But the Reagan years were some of the worst, most hideous years. It was years when we built up Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. That's when we supported them, breastfed them, tickled their scrotums, made them feel very, very happy with everything, provided them with weapons, and now look.
More, baby, before I am through, I want to be a- on this cold.
Mm, here, take NyQuil. Mm. You'll sleep like
okay,
a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Doolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Got the flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
5 before the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Bill is calling from Lexington, Kentucky. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
How you feeling?
Like hell, like warmed over death, but that's all right.
That's all right. I wanted to make a comment. I saw the excellent program on Sundance over the weekend about the Florida.
Yeah, I watched that. Greg Palast, the special that Greg Palast was in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, too. That was
so good.
It was excellent.
Did I come away hating Republicans?
I wonder if CBS or ABC or NBC, one of the over-the-air networks, would consider running that. Oh, no, I guess not.
No.
Too much fact in that one.
Too much fact. Too much truth in that. And this, oh, man, these people at CBS, they're wusses.
Oh, it's just terrible that they would knuckle under
You might as well just count our civil liberties out the window. That happened in 2000 anyway. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
And it's pathetic what they're doing now. And Jessica Lynch is, that story on her, it's so full of hogwash. It's not even...
Well, I can't wait. I want to tape, because we'll be at work tomorrow night, but I want to tape the interview that Diane Sawyer is going to have with Jessica Lynch, because it's my understanding that in that interview, she more or less says that the U.S. government are lying sons of bitches where it concerns what happened to her. A, B, that NBC, it makes it worse than a lie, because everything that is depicted in the NBC docudrama did not happen the way it's presented. And I think Lynch, of course, who was not...
Well, Lynch has been interviewed several times. I've seen a lot of articles over the weekend. I'll see if I can track them down and send them to you. But she's actually said that. Some interviews or...
Right. Well, one of the things I've seen, little bits and pieces when I was laying in my sick bed, was bits and pieces from Diane Sawyer's interview with her, because NBC or ABC is promoting that rather heavily.
Yeah.
That Jessica Lynch is, she's been used by not just the U.S. military who sent her there, the Bush military, but also been used now by the Pentagon and been used by the Karl Rove government in order to perpetuate this myth, which is nothing but a lie.
It sure is.
But that's what this administration is all about. Everything is a lie.
And you know what Reagan and Bush have in common?
What's that?
They're both not in charge.
That could be. Hey, Bill, thanks for checking.
All right.
Thanks for checking in, pal.
Hope and glad feeling better.
Eventually.
Eventually.
Yes, sir.
Take good care.
All right. Thank you, sir. Oh, damn, it hurts to laugh. Oh, quick break. We'll be right back. Jesus, this hurts, Kevin. I know. Wow.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a expense account. What's the problem?
But I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins, because I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to them on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside, punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk, Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Iraqis marched in anger through the streets of Baghdad Monday after the killing of an American-appointed local Iraqi council leader by U.S. military guards under disputed circumstances, according to the Washington Post. The shooting pointed up the increasingly tense relationship between the American occupiers and Iraqis installed by the United States in official positions. The council leader, Mohammed Kaabi, was approaching the council offices in a car Sunday and apparently got into some sort of argument with soldiers who wanted to search his car. A U.S. spokesman said the victim went for the weapon of one of the American guards and was shot by a second soldier in response. Local witnesses reported no attempt by the leader to seize a weapon from the soldier. The Supreme Court will hear its first case arising from the government's anti-terrorism campaign following the September 11th attacks, agreeing to consider whether foreigners held at a U.S. Navy base in Cuba should have access to American courts. The appeals came from British, Australian, and Kuwaiti citizens held with more than 600 others suspected of being Taliban or Al-Qaeda foot soldiers. Most were picked up in U.S. anti-terrorism sweeps in Afghanistan following the 9/11 attacks of 2 years ago. The court combined the men's appeals and will hear the consolidated case sometime next year. Former Vice President Al Gore accused George W. Bush on Sunday of failing to make the country safer after the September 11th attacks and using the war against terrorism as a pretext to consolidate power. He also said in a speech sponsored by the website MoveOn.org that the Bush administration still has no serious strategy for domestic security, charging that there aren't sufficient protection in place for ports, nuclear facilities, chemical plants, and other key infrastructure. He brought the crowd of 3,000 to their feet when he called for a repeal of the Patriot Act, which expanded government surveillance and detention power, allowing authorities to monitor books people read and conduct secret searches. More after this.
Make a fast friend. Adopt an ex-racing greyhound. Greyhound Pets of America is a national nonprofit organization that finds loving homes for these friendly, loving ex-racers. Greyhounds make fantastic pets because they thrive on attention, generally get along great with children and other animals, and are usually pretty easy to housebreak. Call Greyhound Pets of America at 800-366-1472. Greyhound Pets of America, 800-366-1472.
Rock music played lead in giving Hungarian baby boomers the resolve to bring down their communist state. Hungary's ambassador to the United States revealed the power of rock before an audience of 250 at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on Saturday. Andrus Simonyi was a devoted fan of the Beatles, Cream, and Jimi Hendrix when the releases weren't officially permitted in Hungary. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
In addition to being genetically disposed to greed, do CEOs of big corporations also carry the stupid gene? take the case of Dick Davidson, CEO of Union Pacific Railroad. It's now our nation's largest rail corporation, having swallowed up such other companies as Southern Pacific, the MKT, Chicago and Northwestern, and others. Apparently, though, Dick is not content merely to control the big trains, for he's also making a grab for the miniature ones, as in model trains. How stupid. Like a bear being chased by thousands of angry bees, Dick has incurred the wrath of everyone from model train makers to the hobbyists and kids who buy the models. What's up is that Union Pacific has suddenly demanded that model train makers pay it a royalty on all sales of trains that bear not only its logo, but also the logos of any of the former railroads that it absorbed. As the outraged editor of Mainline Modeler magazine put it, "The Union Pacific has interposed itself into the model railroad industry, demanding a percentage of revenues without any investment whatsoever. It's simply a method of skimming a profit without providing a service. It is an outstanding example of greed." Over the years, railroad corporations, including Union Pacific, have been delighted to be the subjects of model trains, seeing it as a form of flattery, free promotion, and goodwill. For it now to threaten and demand loot from these small modeling companies is an act of PR suicide. Sure enough, train buffs are fighting back against what they now call the Great Yellow Goliath. Among other actions, they're organizing UP stockholders and buying stock themselves so they can go to next spring's shareholder meeting en masse to rail against Dick's railroad job. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Dick stupidly is buying a trainload of ill will by trying to collect this pittance in royalties. Tell him to wise up. 402-271-5000.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I'm going right there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll reach it.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. We're at 800 Talk Yes, if you'd like to join in. This hour we're going to have just a couple of sound bites of Donald Rumsfeld speaking to the foreign press about his definition of success in Iraq. Two quotes. Scary. All these people are scary. Every one of these people are in the Bush crime family. Oh, God. They just need to be removed. What's this? Wayne Newton is on MSNBC talking about how we should all support the troops in Iraq. I'll tell you the best way to support the troops in Iraq. Insist that they come home. Prevail upon American parents who have kids, boys and girls who are in the service to fight like hell to get those boys and girls to come home. That's what they are. I don't care how many pictures you see of a 19-year-old boy armed to the teeth, more firepower on an American soldier today than an entire platoon back in World War II. But I don't care. I don't give a tinker's damn. These are kids. These are young kids who don't understand what the Bush crime family has gotten us into. Us as a society, and them specifically, these kids who are being blown away now at the rate of, what was it, the 10th of the month, and 37 Americans have been killed so far? It's astonishing. It's astonishing that we're still allowing this to go on. LA Times yesterday had an article about the number of amputees and burn victims that are being sent home from Iraq. Amputees and burn victims. Now, I guess there's a good side and a bad side to it. The average age of these people are 23, and in a different conflict, they would be dead. But because they are using armored vests to protect the torso and save their lives, that often comes at what the LA Times calls a terrible price. They wrote, one day last week, all but 20 of the 250 beds at the burn center were taken up with casualties of the war. 50 of them have lost limbs, often more than one. Dozens more suffer burns and shrapnel wounds to begin where their armored vests ended. A guy named Jim Mayer, who's 57, lost both legs in Vietnam and now volunteers at the hospital, the Walter Reed Army Medical Center, said he helps amputees. He said, quote, "The number is big to me now. The number of people coming here, bigger than anything I've seen since Vietnam. When we see each other over here, me and the other volunteers, our line to each other is they just keep coming and coming." And according to the LA Times, 7,500 severely wounded American boys and girls have passed through Andrews Air Force Base. How many of those returnees in agonizing pain or dead did this little bastard deserter George Bush show up to salute, huh? Not a single one. 7,500. How many dead do we have now? Have we hit 400 yet, Kathy? The number of amputees and burn victims coming back from Iraq are becoming staggering. I just wonder how much longer we're going to take this. Jerry's calling from Tulsa. Hey, Jerry.
Good evening, Mike.
Hi.
Hi. That is an incredible statistic, or just the fact that Bush has yet to mention any of the amputees or casualties, or mention any of the fatalities, or
right.
You know, he keeps saying, and I heard a caller say this, and I wanted to say this just to kind of be ironic, but let me assure you, since you've been gone, Mike, that Bush has made this a safer, more secure world.
Okay.
If he hadn't given us so much to laugh about, which was a caller I remember hearing saying to you, and I would have laughed if I couldn't keep from crying when I heard that. But did you have, I just kind of off the chart, but did you happen to hear Cher calling to C-SPAN?
No, but I've heard the story now.
I was listening to that yeah. morning and the following morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was really interesting.
No, I didn't see it. I don't watch that much of Washington. Is it Washington Journal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see that much of it. Some mornings, if I'm awake in time, I'll go ahead and turn it on. But that particular morning, no. But I am familiar with the story now, yeah.
Yeah, and
she does volunteer work at one of the hospitals.
Well, she volunteered to go see, and she called in talking about having visited the hospital, and she didn't identify herself. And
right.
the commentator,
finally said, "Is
this
Cher?" Yeah, yeah.
And because he kept asking her questions, he kept
right.
asking her leading questions, and finally she admitted who she was. Anyway, she caused such a stir that people called in the next day. Republicans upset about the fact that she had called in. She did nothing more than try and get people to understand that she'd been visiting the amputees and was saying the same thing mm-hmm. that you were just saying.
Republicans, all of them, every single one, and I've said this before, Jerry, they have become vermin. They are cockroaches. They are the most disgusting of the disgusting in this country. Every Republican, every single one, even the so-called moderate or liberal Republicans, because they're supporting an agenda of death and destruction and chaos.
Well, I believe it, and I'm reading this book by Jake Tapper on Down and Dirty, The Plot to Steal a Presidency. Mike, it is a good chronicle of the last stolen election. But real quickly, have you heard about this thing about the Russian oil exec being a member of a Carlyle Group?
I have a Kartakovsky or whatever the hell his name is. Yeah,
yeah.
I have heard about that. I haven't pursued the story very much yet. None of it would surprise me. I mean, none of it. What the guy with the Russian oil executive did was use the most predatory and vicious aspects of capitalism to seize from the Russian people huge, immense acquisitions and properties that were no more his than they were the man in the moon's. You know, this predatory capitalism that exists in Russia right now is just the most vile of the vile. Everything in Russia is going in the toilet. Life expectancy, health everything. And it's because...
Well, yeah.
And it's because of these people, these Russian capitalists, they're the ones who are destroying it. And they're destroying it with the help of their American counterparts. I hate them.
Well, and the rumor was that American oil companies were going to start buying some of the Russian oil properties or whatever.
Yeah.
But, just real quickly, regarding Reagan and PR,
mm-hmm.
There is a photo, and I know I've told you this before, but I think it's a good time to reinforce it. There is a photo of Reagan posing as Lee Harvey Oswald in Warner Brothers Studios, taken from 1964, from a movie called The Killers, that starred Lee Marvin and my friend and acting instructor, Clue Gulager.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think you told me about this a long time ago.
And yes, and I've watched it since, and they've edited it more down, the scene. And you'll see the scene and where it actually is, but they actually have a still shot of him pointing a long rifle out, you know, from like a fourth floor window. I'm serious.
I'm sure you are.
And it was the last movie Reagan made before he ran for a governor of California, and it was the first movie in which he ever played a villain.
Okay. And what do I do to see the picture?
Well, they show it. Just go. I've rented it at Blockbuster years ago.
Oh, get the movie. It's called The Killers with Lee Marvin.
Called The Killers, 1964 with Lee Marvin, remake of the 1946 one with Robert Mitchum.
All right. I'll check it out if I can.
Jerry. Yeah, and my friend, Quentin Tarantino was inspired to do Pulp Fiction with the two guys riding around shooting each other up.
Well,
and why my family, he's part of my extended relative. Again, they did Ambush in Waco, if you ever get the chance to watch that. The whole family was in on that.
You're giving me an entire movie list to watch here.
I just wish I could have got it to you before Halloween.
I wish you could have, too. Thanks, Jerry.
You too.
All right. You take care. What was it, The Killers? With Lee Marvin. Adam is calling from Athens, Georgia. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how are you?
Fair to partly cloudy. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah.
Tony was great last week, and Fridays, oh my gosh, you had me rolling again with the Donald Rumsfeld and the hose thing.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like he's tripping on acid or something.
Right.
But I had a comment about the painkillers that they're. I had my wisdom teeth taken out 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my.
So they gave me Meprogam and Darvocet.
Yeah.
Not to take at the same time. One is for lesser pain. But so I took them for 3 days. And then I got off of them, and I swear I would have rather have gone through the pain of having, you know, to sit through mm-hmm. getting my teeth yanked out because of the headache from the withdrawal. Like, I had this withdrawal
mm-hmm.
from these painkillers, and now what this is getting to is I can see how people get addicted to OxyContin
mm-hmm.
because these headaches are just too... You know, they just can't bear them anymore.
But I think that depends on individual body chemistry. I took a hydrocodone for the first couple, 3 days after this surgery, and then just decided it was making me too goofy. I don't mean high, ha-ha goofy. I mean just goofy in a fog. And the thing I don't like about Vicodin, you still feel the pain. You just don't give a damn. And to me, that's insane. That makes no sense at all.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'll tell you, the best thing for pain of this sort to me is ice packs. And,
oh, yeah.
And that's what I use. I just walked around for 4 days with ice. I didn't walk around. I stayed in bed. But I had ice packs on my face. And you just deal with it that way. I'm sure that these heavy-duty painkillers are good for people who are in heavy-duty pain. And it varies... I think it varies from person to person, body chemistry to body chemistry. But for me, it was just, sure, it cut down on the most severe pain, but I just wanted to get off of them as quickly as I could.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know, they just make me crazy. So ice packs to me is,
oh, yeah.
That's the way to go. Ice pack and ice cream in your mouth.
That's good stuff.
Trust me, Adam.
And a little bit of love.
Oh, there you go. A lot of love.
And I just wanted to mention one other thing.
Sure.
I was reading the U.S. is going to face up to $2.2 billion in EU sanctions.
Oh, good.
Upcoming, the World Trade Organization, I'm just going to sum up this article here, decided that the tariffs that the U.S. puts on our steel is illegal. So that when we send our, or when you know, we import steel and we put a tariff on there.
Yeah, according to NAFTA and World Trade Organization rules, we can't protect ourselves or our workers or our factories or our industries at all. And if Bush wants to try to pander, or any president wants to try to pander to certain special interest groups, we're going to wind up where the American public pays the fine. Hey, listen, I got a boogie. Adam, thank you.
All right, yeah, and I was just going to say the European Union was going to put 100% duty on ours.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So,
wouldn't be surprised.
Know,
thanks, Adam.
Well, yes, thank you for taking me.
All right, sir. Take care.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages. And you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heaping helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, our Arkansas Bureau Chief, Joyce, just sent this in. She says, hi, Mike. Today, at about the time little Georgie was scooping up campaign dollars at his $2,000 a plate fundraising luncheon in Little Rock, Arkansas, telling the drooling sheep how great the economy was rebounding, with food soon to be on the table for all, joblessness diminishing, blah, blah, blah. A catastrophic announcement was made in the city of Fort Smith, Arkansas. Okay, you got the setting here. Joyce is setting up for us. There's the Bush bastard in Little Rock collecting money. Down in Fort Smith, this, the Whirlpool Corporation, which employs nearly 5,000 Arkansans, made the announcement that their Fort Smith plant will be closing and relocating in, yes, Mexico. In addition to the 5,000 employees, many more thousands of jobs will be affected by this closure. Ironically, Joyce writes, Arkansas is one of the worst suffering states in regard to unemployment and the miserable economy. Yet this brain-dead moron travels the country at taxpayer expense, raising funds, and more funds for his unopposed primary. The pre-selected sheep at the luncheon clapped, roared, and cheered for their fearless leader. One item was missing from the menu. Pretzels. Yeah, you know, Joyce is right. It's just astonishing. One has to wonder. I wonder all the time, so I'll use the non-committal pronoun one. One has to wonder what people who attend these fundraisers, how they do that, how they, in their own state, thousands of people more to be laid off, good jobs down the toilet. And they support, but don't these pigs understand that when they finally do destroy the middle class in this country, that there'll be no one from whom they can suck off tax dollars? There'll be no more money to spend on their product. Of course, that's, you know, Kathy and I had a big discussion right before I went under the ether last week. And that's about, that was about, what we've talked about on this program before. Capitalism hates the middle class. It just absolutely despises the middle class, because capitalism understands that the middle class has the power, if there is a middle class, to destroy it. Just like any ism, I don't care if it's socialism, communism, capitalism, any ism, Nazism, they hate the middle class. Well, not so much fascism. Fascism kind of likes the middle class, but capitalism hates it. Because capitalism understands that that's where revolution is fomented. It doesn't come from the poor classes. It comes from the middle class. Capitalism will do everything in its power to destroy the middle class. Pure predatory capitalism doesn't allow for the development of the middle class to begin with. It's only when strictures are put on predatory capitalism, i.e. what Roosevelt did in the 30s, that you have a middle class start to develop. But capitalism, and that's what we're seeing with the Bush crime family, they want to utterly and completely destroy the middle class. There are to be two classes, the top 2% that control everything and the bottom 98% who trudge off to work with their lunch pail and do what they're told to do and do their shopping at Walmart and do their shopping at Kmart and shut the hell up and don't vote and don't aspire to anything and stay away from universities except for the chosen 2%. That's what capitalism is, without the strictures of government. Now, when government, as this government, becomes nothing more than an enabler for the worst aspects of predatory capitalism, you have this situation, where the top 2-3% applaud and cheer and stamp their feet and write their checks, and the bottom 97% of us watch jobs and opportunities and education and a future disappear. And these sons of bitches will continue to do this, these Bush thugs, because they understand that the only group that's ever going to put them up against the wall will come from the middle class.
Alpha male, mass destruction. Alpha male.
If you're worried about people finding work, you better increase demand. If you're trying to create new jobs, in other words, if one worker can do more work, you got to create the need for more work.
Texas. The new Prime Minister of India is, no.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A Montana official argues for greater local control over the nation's wildfire policies. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. For people in western states, wildfire is a constant concern, and many say local communities should decide how to deal with the risk. Mary Sexton is an elected commissioner for Teton County, Montana. She says locally run programs help people clear away combustible materials from their properties.
Programs whereby landowners have incentives and matching grants to build defensible space around their homes. We're not in an area where timber really is much of an option. We're fairly dry, it's inaccessible, and a lot of it isn't marketable anyway. So we have different needs.
Sexton says Teton County must continually seek money to pay to cut the risks of wildfire.
We've gotten some federal money, and also with some local funding and efforts and volunteer efforts, people have gone out and set up plans for homeowners, and the homeowners pay a little bit, and then there's a matching grant for it. So it's a mixture of funding.
Sexton says the Bush administration's Healthy Forest Initiative, which aims to reduce wildfire risk by thinning the national forests, won't help communities like hers. The program would reward loggers for thinning brush by letting them cut down healthy trees. But her area has little timber of value. She says the Healthy Forest Initiative is a one-size-fits-all approach that doesn't fit her Montana county.
Tailoring funding programs and assistance to really what the communities need. We're all different. We all have different species, different climates, different concerns, and I think that letting local communities have the flexibility to see where their needs are is really the best approach.
Sexton says the federal government could provide the most effective help by providing more funding for local fire control programs. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Michael.
I'm Ellen,
and we're the
Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Bush est un hombre sincero. Ow, that hurts.
Pues es un hombre insincero.
Insincero.
Y una familia muy rica.
What? His family is full of sick mothers?
Huh?
His family is muy rica. Rich. Very rich.
Muy rica.
Muy rica.
Oh, muy rica.
Gana dinero. Lots of money.
Sí. Yo comprende. Okay, enough. All right. Thank you. Reports from the United States, this is in from the BBC. Reports from the United States suggest the Bush administration has become so frustrated with the Iraqi Governing Council it may be looking to scrap it. Yeah, you know, the little group of apparently brain dead, unable to govern pissants that Bremer and the Carlyle group and Cheney and Halliburton set up to run Iraq. The Washington Post is quoting a senior U.S. official who is saying the administration has become alarmed at the commission's failure to make important decisions. Hmm. Well, we're making the important decisions. I don't understand. What important decisions can this group of people make? All the important decisions have to go through the proconsul, Paul Bremer. This neo-Nazi who actually runs Iraq and works for George W. Bush or works for Cheney or works for somebody. He doesn't work for me. I'm just an American citizen. I'm just a taxpayer. None of these bastards work for me. So the reports are now that the Bush crime family wants to fire the whole group. What is there, 30 of them? The Iraqi Governing Council? So the Bush crime family members are getting frustrated. Frustrated. We've got 8,000-9,000 Americans wounded and 350, are we up to 400 yet, dead, and the deaths are going to continue, and the wounded are going to continue. Burns, amputees, all kinds of just the most vile stuff that can happen to an American boy or girl. And it's happening every single damn day. And the Bush crime family is frustrated because the Iraqi Governing Council won't calm things down so the Bush crime family can get about the business that the Bush crime family is in business to get about, which is crime. Well, one has to hope for a day of reckoning, doesn't one? John is calling from Long Beach, California. Hey, John.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
I just wanted to touch on the Gore thing and also on Linda Tripp. On Gore, I listened to him also.
Uh-huh.
And as I'm watching him, I think, man, this guy has finally impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
But then my second thought was, gee, Mr. Gore, here you are, a day late and a dollar short.
Yeah, I can't help but feel that too. But like Rob from Washington said, Gore has spent his life, except for the time he was in the military and working for a newspaper, he's spent the good chunk of his life in government and in the system. And I think he understood maybe something that you and I would not understand. I think you and I, or possibly Rob or anybody else, had we seen the presidency being stolen from us illegally and criminally, you or I might have called somebody out and whipped some ass, or tried to. But maybe Al Gore, like Rob said, maybe Al Gore realized that this is the way it just had to be. I tend to agree with both you and Rob. I wish Al Gore would have been a lot more assertive. But when you stop and think about it, what the hell could he have done? Everything was stacked against him. And I also believe that Al Gore might have, word might have gotten to Al Gore that if he didn't sit down and shut up, somebody would kill him.
Possibly. Well, on that note, real quick, before I get to the Linda Tripp thing, talking about the election, when the Republicans brought in their hoods from back east and put them in the room at
right.
the hallway, they're pounding on the doors.
Yeah.
Now, if you'd been inside that room, what would you have done the first thing?
I would have called for police to come and clear the hallway.
Exactly.
Right.
Bingo.
Yeah, and if the police couldn't do it, then I would have called. Of course, it was I guess I couldn't have called the governor and asked for the National Guard because the governor is part of the chaos. But yeah, I would have called for the police.
Bingo.
Or I would have asked for some friends from the local Teamsters Union Hall to come down with some barrel staves and beat these little pasty-faced white bastards right into the ground and just stomp the living hell out of them. I'm sorry. I know people who listen to this program, John, get tired of hearing me talk like that. You know, Mike Malloy's all full of violence. You're damn right I am. Somebody tries to steal my country like that, I'm going to react.
The question is, though, why didn't they do that? Why didn't they take some kind of action like that?
Intimidation. Totally intimidated. They were terrified, afraid to do it. That's why they stopped the counting. Oh, we can't handle this. Look, John, you and I both know most people are cowardly bastards. They are just cowards. They're absolute cowards. Very few people in this country still have the backbone left to fight for something they believe in. I mean, really, really fight for something they believe in.
Let me say this before I have to go. On Linda Tripp.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be ironic that a Linda Tripp is getting $500,000 or so from the government for evasion of privacy?
Right.
Wouldn't it be ironic if Monica came along and sued Tripp for invasion of privacy and got that $500,000?
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? Thanks, John. All right, sir. Appreciate your call. I don't mean people who listen to this program are willing to roll over. Or don't have the courage to fight. I don't mean our little group, all 40 of us, at all. But you know what I'm talking about. You know, John's question, why didn't they call the police? Well, why didn't they? Intimidation. Just pure intimidation. But I just, you know, like I've said before, I'm not trying to come across as macho. You know, I had my day, okay? And it's long gone. But back in the day, something like this come up, you would, depending on where you lived, if you lived on the coast, you'd get some longshoremen. If you lived in the Midwest, you'd get some union or some Teamster union guys. I'm talking about when some smart-ass, thuggish right-winger or the bosses or whomever tried to steal representation in your union local or tried to break up a strike. You fought fire with fire. That's all. And we don't do that anymore. And one of the reasons we don't now is because of the USA Patriot Act, you fight fire with fire, now your ass is going to Guantanamo, or worse. But during that recount, that so-called, in 2000, when those poor clerks and those in Palm Beach County and the other counties were trying desperately to salvage the absolute rape of democracy that these Republicans had perpetrated in that state, there was no USA Patriot Act then. Somebody should have pulled out a club. Somebody, I don't know, done something. Thrown a smoke bomb. Or gone to the nearest Longshoremen Union's Hall, Union Hall and said, look, we need some help over here. And if that, you know, if that kind of language from me pisses you off or shocks you, you know, complain to IE America. I'm sure they'll do something about it, right? Of course, we're owned by a union. Tom is calling from Northwest Indiana. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening, Mike. Hope you're feeling a lot better.
I'm not, but that's okay. Thanks for the sentiment.
Now, speaking of the Linda Tripp settlement, I'd like to go over another settlement that it's kind of in the works. Nobody's really confirmed it yet, but there's a story going around the Internet that the woman who brought sexual assault charges against W., last year?
Let me guess. She's committed suicide?
Well, the person, one of your truth seekers on your board posted an email, so there's no link to the story in this email, but they did post a link to the kind of like the information of visitation at a funeral home.
An obituary or a viewing notice?
More of a viewing notice.
Oh, really?
There's no information about the about the person himself, except for their name and when they died.
Mm-hmm.
But the name was Margie Schottinger,
right.
I believe.
That was the one. That was the name of the woman who. Now, if you believe any of this, that's the problem, Tom. I remember what was about a year and a half ago when this story started circulating, that this woman had tried to file sexual assault charges against Bush when he was governor, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? And the story was going nowhere. Nobody would touch it. And now you're telling me that this somebody with the same name is now dead, and the charges or the cause of death is listed as a probable suicide?
Well, that's what this email says. It was a bullet to the head, and it's somewhat listed as suicide. But I another interesting little thing, I mean, if suicide doesn't necessarily always ring true, when trying to locate any story about that would have her death, mm-hmm. and the fact that she was the woman who filed assault charges, sexual assault charges against W. Trying to find a news story. I haven't gotten one yet, but one other little bit chilling thing came up when I was looking for it. Back in July on American Politics, Ample.
Right.
Jackson Thoreau was writing an article about it, and he was saying some of the things. Well, he had some difficulty with the case, some problems with some of the information and stuff.
Right.
But he was. I posted it on the board under the heading of the your truth seekers started this whole thing with, and I highlighted it that he was saying that with all the problems of this, and you know this woman could be in trouble, and you know, strange things could happen. He said, well, the more people who know about her, especially in the media, it's less likely something stranger, like a suicide, might occur.
Yeah, well, guess what, huh?
I guess that kind of shoots that theory.
Yeah, you never know about this stuff. The Clintons were accused of how many murders? 30, 40, 60, 1,000? And a lot of people will say, well, that's because they were killers. But I think anybody with a brain like you have or like I have would understand, perhaps, maybe, possibly, it's certainly a possibility that you flood the air with false, fake charges about, oh, the Clintons murdered 30 people, and people go, oh, man, stop. So then when you get somebody in there who is capable of ordering murders, everybody goes, oh, stop, forget about it. You understand?
Yeah, and it's really amazing. What's crazy is this woman died September 22nd, and I haven't heard anything in the news anywhere about this story. If it's true, like I said, the information I have, somebody posted some information that an email they got, and the only thing they really provided was a link to the Houston Chronicle.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tom, you're one of the moderators at my board, and you've got access to resources. Keep internet resources. Keep looking for it. See what you can find. Let me know, okay?
It's kind of hard because a lot of the stuff that covers the Bush administration seems to get buried real quick.
I know, but you folks who are moderators on my board are real good at that stuff, so just keep slugging away.
Okay, you guys take care.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate you checking in. Well, that's true. They are good. The people who moderate MikeMalloy.com, the topic message boards, you know. Check it out if you haven't been there. We get our share of fruitcakes there, too. I mean, real ass wipes, but we usually get rid of them fairly quickly. That's what the moderators are there for. Gizmo, one of our over-the-road truckers, is calling, this time driving in Ohio. Hey, Gizmo.
Hi, Mike. How are you tonight?
Doing fine, sir. How about you?
Yeah, I'm doing real good. You're going to get some bionic teeth, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to get those honest-to-God implants. It's going to take about 8-10 months for the whole procedure to finish up. I got through the worst part of it this past week, but I'll tell you, it was not the most fun thing I've ever gone through, pal.
Well, I've had a couple root canals, so I don't know if it's...
Okay. Nah, compared to this, a root canal is a trip to the local zoo. Trust me.
You know, I'm going to need to do that. You're scaring me. I'm going to have to get some of those implants.
Well, just don't believe them when they say things like, well, you'll be a little sore afterward. Well, there may be a little swelling. Well, you might bruise a little bit. Well, you'll probably need to miss a day or two of work. Don't believe any of that, okay? Now, it's not the implants. The implants are fairly simple. It's if you have the kind of condition I had where you're missing bone and they got to draw bone out of one part of your body and stick it up in your jaw, then you got a problem. The implants...
Sounds like it might be periodontal, huh?
Yeah. I had severe... Didn't even know it. Had severe periodontal disease
that
had to be corrected. So... anybody who says these procedures are not drawn out, painful, and I guess to some degree risky, you know, they just say, well, you know, it's not really surgery, man. It's just like, you know, in your mouth. BS. It's bad stuff. But the end result is good stuff, right?
Yeah, you're gonna have a better smile.
There you go.
you're going to be shoving your teeth in everybody's face.
There you go, Gizmo.
Hey, listen, just a note to John out there. Not only should Monica Lewinsky get that $500,000, but they should reverse Tripp's surgery so she's ugly again. not that she's any better looking now, but she should get her ugly back, too, you know?
Yeah, and what was the other one? He touched me. Who was that? Paula Jones. Yeah.
Oh my God.
All those women that you know, once the right wing, that was their payoff. Once the right wing used them and sucked them dry like vampires, they were given their payoff. Either money or facelift or a nose job or new hair or new boobs or whatever it was they wanted. The right wing said, you know, you're just white trailer trash. We know all you want is,
Go Fox, Tonya Harding, right?
Yeah. All you want is a facelift or to get rid of that big old ugly nose. We'll do that for you. But get out here and destroy a family's life, destroy democracy. Help us destroy representative government in this country, and we'll give you your boobs after it's all over, or we'll make sure that you get $500,000 settlement. I hate these people, Gizmo. I just hate them.
Hey, that's the second time tonight you've said that.
I know that.
Hey, listen, what I really called about...
All right, let me put you on hold. We'll get to what you really called about as soon as we come back from this break. Got a break here. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum strikes my length, a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. My length is wonderful, wet, drenching sensation,
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength My Lanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiotis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean?
Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
The Mike Moblis Show.
Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telfar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. And he has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine, okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man? Huh?
Who are you then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Moblis Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Moblis.
5 before the hour, we are talking with Gizmo, who is one of our over-the-road truckers who's somewhere in Ohio. Is that right?
Akron.
Well, that's
Akron.
That's a good place to be.
I don't know.
All right. Yeah. Now, you were about to share something.
Oh, yeah. Yes. You know what? I read on the internet, and I know some of your listeners probably are savvy enough to have heard it. This big job gain that the Bush administration is touting from last week, over 160-some-odd thousand jobs.
Right.
Well, I read on the internet or heard it somewhere, but evidently out there in California, a bunch of people went on strike. Something like 70,000 people were on strike out there.
Yeah, that was in the grocery industry.
Right, and when they went on strike, they weren't allowed to collect unemployment, so they weren't put on the unemployment roll.
Right.
So what happened is now they've come back to work, they've settled their contract, and they've come back to work, but since they were never counted as going off, but here's the trick, they're counting them as new hires coming back to work, which has added 70,000 jobs to Bush's figures.
Isn't that so typically Bush crime family?
Oh, my God, it's ridiculous. And just one more thing. Your friend Sean Hannity is touting this big memo that he broke on the air about the Democrats trying to make political hay in the Intelligence Committee.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
I think I heard something about it last week in the fog, but Hannity has no more exclusive information than I do or you do.
Right, and it was shoved up his nose.
Right.
But anyway, what I'm saying about that is that the Democrats are saying that some Republicans stole this memo from a Democratic staffer. Now, this kind of is a small resemblance of Watergate, isn't it?
Sure. Sure.
Yes.
But that's what they do, and then they rely on their whores in media, like Sean Hannity is a whore, to spread the lies and the disinformation. These people are really bad, Gizmo, and I know you know that, and I know it, and most people listen to this program understand it. But these people will stop at nothing. Everything that comes out of their mouths are lies, and everything their whores in media, like Sean Hannity says, just perpetrates the lie and confuses us even further. They're really animals, Gizmo.
I agree with you. The 100% a highly paid whore, though. You know.
Yeah. Awful stuff. Hey, listen, pal, got a break here. Thanks for checking in.
Okay, I'll talk to you again, Mike.
All right, drive safe. I appreciate you calling. All right, folks, stick around. A final hour coming up. I'm Mike Moblis.
listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Fan ji la is like cool. Yeah.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The Supreme Court will hear its first case arising from the government's anti-terrorism campaign following the September 11th attacks, agreeing to consider whether foreigners held at a U.S. Navy base in Cuba should have access to American courts. The appeals came from British, Australian, and Kuwaiti citizens held with more than 600 others suspected of being Taliban or Al-Qaeda foot soldiers. Most were picked up in U.S. anti-terrorism sweeps in Afghanistan following the 9/11 attacks of 2 years ago. The court combined the men's appeals and will hear the consolidated case sometime next year. Iraqis marched in anger through the streets of Baghdad Monday after the killing of an American-appointed local Iraqi council leader by U.S. military guards under disputed circumstances, according to the Washington Post. The shooting pointed up the increasingly tense relationship between the American occupiers and Iraqis installed by the United States in official positions. The council leader, Mohammed Kaabi, was approaching the council offices in a car Sunday and apparently got into some sort of argument with soldiers who wanted to search his car. A U.S. spokesman said the victim went for the weapon of one of the American guards and was shot by a second soldier in response. Local witnesses reported no attempt by the leader to seize a weapon from the soldier. Former Vice President Al Gore accused George W. Bush on Sunday of failing to make the country safer after the September 11th attacks and using the war against terrorism as a pretext to consolidate power. He also said in a speech sponsored by the website MoveOn.org that the Bush administration still has no serious strategy for domestic security, charging that there aren't sufficient protection in place for ports, nuclear facilities, chemical plants, and other key infrastructure. He brought the crowd of 3,000 to their feet when he called for a repeal of the Patriot Act, which expanded government surveillance and detention power, allowing authorities to monitor books people read and conduct secret searches. More after this.
Make a fast friend. Adopt an ex-racing greyhound. Greyhound Pets of America is a national nonprofit organization that finds loving homes for these friendly, loving ex-racers. Greyhounds make fantastic pets because they thrive on attention, generally get along great with children and other animals, and are usually pretty easy to housebreak. Call Greyhound Pets of America at 800-366-1472. Greyhound Pets of America, 800-366-1472.
A Norwegian family may use a state radio surveillance device to help track down their 6-year-old son if he runs away, an Oslo appeals court has ruled. The court overturned a decision by a welfare office which said the parents should keep a closer eye on the boy. The ruling determined that the boy needed extra care because he suffered from autism and was prone to running off. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
In addition to being genetically disposed to greed, do CEOs of big corporations also carry the stupid gene? Take the case of Dick Davidson, CEO of Union Pacific Railroad. It's now our nation's largest rail corporation, having swallowed up such other companies as Southern Pacific, the MKT, Chicago and Northwestern, and others. Apparently, though, Dick is not content merely to control the big trains, for he's also making a grab for the miniature ones, as in model trains. How stupid. Like a bear being chased by thousands of angry bees, Dick has incurred the wrath of everyone from model train makers to the hobbyists and kids who buy the models. What's up is that Union Pacific has suddenly demanded that model train makers pay it a royalty on all sales of trains that bear not only its logo, but also the logos of any of the former railroads that it absorbed. As the outraged editor of Mainline Modeler magazine put it, "The Union Pacific has interposed itself into the model railroad industry, demanding a percentage of revenues without any investment whatsoever. It's simply a method of skimming a profit without providing a service. It is an outstanding example of greed." Over the years, railroad corporations, including Union Pacific, have been delighted to be the subjects of model trains, seeing it as a form of flattery, free promotion, and goodwill. For it now to threaten and demand loot from these small modeling companies is an act of PR suicide. Sure enough, train buffs are fighting back against what they now call the Great Yellow Goliath. Among other actions, they're organizing UP stockholders and buying stock themselves so they can go to next spring's shareholder meeting en masse to rail against Dick's railroad job. This is Jim Hightower saying, Dick stupidly is buying a trainload of ill will by trying to collect this pittance in royalties. Tell him to wise up. 402-271-5000.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Back 7 past the hour. You know, I've said before, and you know this, that every time anybody in the Bush crime family or its whores in media open their mouths, it's a lie. What about Rumsfeld now? What about Rumsfeld? Rumsfeld is backtracking on just about everything that he said in the run up to the war. A couple examples in the lead up to our attack and invasion of Iraq. Rumsfeld said U.S. troops would be welcomed by the Iraqi citizenry, remember that, and that Saddam Hussein had large stockpiles of all these weapons, chemical and biological. He said it. It's a matter of record. We even played the quotes for you on this program. Now, both statements have been shown to be either vastly exaggerated or absolute, flat-out, filthy lies, and Rumsfeld is denying that he ever said it. A couple of recent testy exchanges with reporters, and we've played these on the program. Rumsfeld interrupts the questioners and attacks the premise of the questions. If the question deals with his pre-war lies, right? He attacks the reporter. For example, on February 20th, a month before the invasion, Rumsfeld took a question about whether Americans would be greeted as liberators if they invaded Iraq. Here's his answer. First of all, Jim Lehrer on PBS's The NewsHour asked the question, do you expect the invasion, if it comes, to be welcomed by the majority of the civilian population of Iraq? Rumsfeld answered, quote, there's no question but that they would be welcomed. Go back to Afghanistan. The people were in the streets playing music, cheering, flying kites, and doing all the things that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda would not let them do, end quote. But on September 25th, a particularly bloody day, Rumsfeld was asked about the surging resistance, and the question from Sinclair Broadcasting anchor Morris Jones. The question was, quote, before the war, Mr. Rumsfeld, you stated the case very eloquently, and you said they would welcome us with open arms, end quote. Rumsfeld immediately cut him off and said, never said that. Never did. You may remember it well, but you're thinking of somebody else. You can't find anywhere me saying anything like either of those two things you just said I said. Here's another one. When testifying about Iraqi weapons of mass destruction before the House Armed Services Committee on September 18, 2002, Rumsfeld said Saddam, quote, has amassed large clandestine stocks of biological weapons, including anthrax, botulism, smallpox. His regime has amassed stockpiles of chemical weapons, including VX and sarin and mustard gas. He has at this moment stockpiles of chemical and biological weapons, end quote. Now, he repeated that over and over and over again, like all these bastards did during the weeks before the war. Last month, after the our weapons hunters over there reported to this criminal administration and Congress that nothing was found, Rumsfeld was asked about his earlier statements. A reporter at the Pentagon news conference said, quote, in retrospect, were you a little too far leaning in your statement that Iraq categorically had weapons of chemical and biological weapons, given what's been found today? You painted a picture, Mr. Rumsfeld, of extensive stocks of Iraqi mass-killing weapons. Rumsfeld interrupted and said, wait, you go back and give me something that talks about extensive stocks. The UN reported extensive stocks. That's where that word came from. I said what I believe to be the case, and I don't. I'd be surprised if you found the word extensive in anything I've said. Son of a bitch. Unbelievable. Just a cowardly little creepy, all of these people. They just lie and lie and lie. And lie. Now today, here he is briefing the foreign press. Now this is from his opening remarks. More U.S. troops are going to be sent to Iraq next year. Is it going to be your son, your brother, your father, your mother, your sister, your auntie, your uncle, your niece, your nephew? They're going. Because the Bush crime family says they're going to go. So here, from his opening remarks, more U.S. troops to be sent to Iraq next year. He won't say how many. And this thug's bizarre so-called exit strategy.
As we replace U.S. forces serving in Iraq beginning next year, the level of coalition and U.S. forces will depend on the security situation on the ground, and also on the pace at which Iraqi forces, security forces, are able to assume additional responsibilities. But let me be clear. The goal is not to reduce the number of U.S. forces in Iraq. It's not to develop an exit strategy. Our exit strategy in Iraq is success. It's that simple. The objective is not to leave. The objective is to succeed in our mission.
Too bad we won't have an American version, 2003, of the Nuremberg war trials against the criminals who ran the Nazi agenda and administration. Here, this thug says the goal is not to reduce the number of U.S. forces in Iraq. The goal is not to develop an exit strategy. Our exit strategy in Iraq is success. The objective is not to leave. Success. What is, how would any rational human being define U.S. success in Iraq? How do you define it? We have destroyed the country with 12 years of sanctions and a vicious invasive war. We have stolen every single bit of their natural resources. We have installed a puppet government. We are draining those national resources as quickly as we can. We are killing them, and they are killing us. What the hell do these bastards mean by success? There will be no success in Iraq. Americans are going to continue to die. Wait till the death toll starts to hit 40, 50, 60 a week. Will that do it? General Abizaid is now threatening the people in the so-called Sunni triangle around Fallujah that if they don't, if the residents don't stop, in the first place, they're saying it's not Iraqis who are blowing up Americans and killing Americans. So Abizaid comes out and says, if the residents of Fallujah don't stop, then we are going to change our tactics. And immediately after he said that, they dropped 3 500-pound bombs in the Fallujah area. The threat is there. Now, on the one hand, you have these tin-horn bastards saying, well, it's not. These aren't Iraqis. These are foreigners who are coming in. On the other hand, you have the U.S. military warning the people of Fallujah, you better stop or we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you deader than hell. We're going to kill all of you and your children and your grandchildren. Every one of you are going to die. Which is it? Is it foreigners or is it Iraqis? Which is it? The Bush crime family doesn't care. These people have no respect for the truth. These are killers. These are just absolute thugs. Now, a Canadian reporter has a question for too stupid to be what is he? Secretary of Defense. The reporter says, "I'm with the Globe and Mail of Canada. To shift back to Iraq for a second, as the occupation is ongoing, and Saddam Hussein remains a fugitive." I wonder, Mr. Secretary, if your thinking has evolved at all, or perhaps you could give us your assessment today of his, Saddam's, importance symbolically and operationally to this resistance.
Well, first, I don't think of it as an occupation, as you characterized it. I think of it as a liberation. If you have 23 million people who were told what they had to do every day, 24 hours a day, And unless they were told to do something, they couldn't do anything else. And they were arrested, they were beaten, and they were tortured. And they fill up mass graves across their country. The United States is not occupying that country. The United States and the coalition forces liberated that country.
Can you believe it? And this dirty pig, this filthy, dirty pig, Donald Rumsfeld, you've seen the picture. It's been all over the Internet. This pig shaking Saddam's hand at the conclusion of the pig's trip to Iraq to sell the Iraqis weapons of mass destruction, to kill Kurds, to kill Iranians, to kill anybody that Saddam wanted to. And now this pig, this Donald Rumsfeld, refers to what happened in that godforsaken country as something that the United States went in to stop. You lying thug, Rumsfeld, you're nothing but a liar. And the United States is not occupying that country. We have liberated that country. This is liberation, death and destruction that goes on every single day and will continue until the United States military, like the Russians in Afghanistan, leave. The death and the destruction will not stop in Iraq until the U.S. military is gone. Now, you know that, Truth Seeker, and so do I. And these pigs that run this government now, they understand it too, but they don't care. They don't care because they're about death, they're about destruction, they're about chaos, and they're about the oil. And they will have the oil. They will get the oil. But this filthy Rumsfeld tells a Canadian press guy, I don't think of it as an occupation as you characterize it. I think of it as a liberation. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? No, I'm not going to make another reference to Orwell. I'm not going to make another reference to doublespeak. I'm not going to say war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength, and an occupation is not an occupation, it's liberation. Rumsfeld's disgusting, contemptible lies scream the fact that they are lies. And this lip-smacking, pork-eating pig stands there and just day after day after day with the lies. All of these people. How do you not get angry? I mean, how does an American not get angry, furious, at what these people are doing, these people being the Bush administration? How do you do that? How do these people continue to write checks and support this hideous administration? How do people continue to drive about in their cars or listen to work to media whores of the two-bit variety like Sean Hannity and these animals that are substituting for the pig man and listen and lap this stuff up mentally day in and day out and agree with it? What is it? What is this sickness that is just rampant in this country? What is it? Jesus, I wish somebody would explain that to me. It is just so vile. Oh, and today in Iraq, well, yesterday actually, Iraqis marched through Baghdad, angry. More demonstrations after the killing of an American-appointed local Iraqi council leader by U.S. military guards. They stopped his car. He got out of the car. This is a guy the U.S. military appointed to a position of power. They start harassing this guy, and then they kill him. They kill him. They kill him. Jesus.
I got something to say. And I thought it might be worth a mention. If you're not pissed off at the world, then you're just not paying attention. You can turn off the TV and go about your day. But just 'cause you don't see it, it don't mean it's gone away.
Rachel, and in 3 months I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night I ate a chocolate cheesecake and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If he's got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If he's got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine, thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a okay with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff. But what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show. And you're abusing it. And I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best of progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Gee, I just went off on a tear there about Rumsfeld, didn't I? Gosh, I apologize. How disrespectful of me. Especially considering that tomorrow's Veterans Day and Donald Rumsfeld is, after all, a veteran, right? How disrespectful of me. I deeply apologize to our affiliates around the country and all of our internet listeners, whether you live in the United States or in Transylvania. Gosh, what disrespect that you'd think that after spending a week on my ass suffering through a surgical pain and recovery, I would have calmed down a bit, huh? Yeah, you would think that, wouldn't you? William is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, William.
Hey, Mike. We have a Veterans Day event tomorrow in Santa Fe at the state capitol, what we call our roundhouse, from 11:30 to 1.
Oh, yeah, 11:30 to 1?
Yeah. And it might not be exactly a traditional Veterans Day event, but we've been doing it for 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the quotes on our press release says, true patriotism knows no higher calling than that of pure peace. But it is through wicked war that men become famous, that lives are lost in the causes of countries, and mankind is scarred beyond mm-hmm. all belief. It is this somber thought which we remember on Veterans Day. And we're going to have a number of speakers from the Veterans for Peace, Vietnam Veterans Against the War, mm-hmm. Peace Action New Mexico, Veterans Advocates from Department of Veteran Affairs. And they're going to be talking about some of the cuts to benefits to veterans and soldiers that we've seen come out of Iraq.
That sounds like a proper way to honor and respect veterans. The glorification of war, the glorification of killing and being killed is so animalistic. It is so Republican. It is so a reptilian part of the brain. I wish I were in Santa Fe so I could come to that sort of a Veterans Day commemoration. That's a great idea, William.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we're showing our patriotism by speaking out against things that are not being said anywhere else.
Right.
I mean, when soldiers in the field under combat conditions are charged $2.10 a meal,
yeah,
I mean, it's ridiculous. And you know, my dad served in World War II, and he just thought this stuff was incredible. I mean, you know, the Greatest Generation, if they knew what, you know, we're doing to our veterans and our soldiers right now. You know, charging them for hospital things. Also, mm-hmm. I guess they were giving troops in the field a lot of uppers, and then when they were out off the front line, they'd give them downers, and now we've got a bunch of guys that are hooked on these meds that the Defense Department was just, you know, pushing like Rush Limbaugh does or something.
Sure. And then they'll tell them, well, you have a drug addiction, so you don't qualify for veterans benefits. Yeah, but I got the drug addiction in the military. Sorry, son, you misused the drugs.
Yeah, well, you know, they wanted them to have optimum performance, and, you know, they gave it to them chemically. So.
Yeah. Well, listen, I don't know how to say this, have a peaceful, I guess is the right word, peaceful day tomorrow at the Roundhouse in Santa Fe, Veterans Day celebration or commemoration would be a better word. We don't celebrate war. And I certainly respect what you people are doing out there, William.
Okay, well, thank you, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. This administration spits on the U.S. military. It pisses on the U.S. military. And it does the other thing, too. I can't say that word on the air. It just, it does. The latest? You want to hear the latest of what this administration is doing to the veterans from the Persian Gulf War in 1991? Veterans who were tortured? Stick around. I'll share that with you as soon as we come back. I'm Mike Malloy.
So now as I'm leaving, I'm weary as hell.
A peace-free and secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A Montana official argues for greater local control over the nation's wildfire policies. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. For people in western states, wildfire is a constant concern, and many say local communities should decide how to deal with the risk. Mary Sexton is an elected commissioner for Teton County, Montana. She says locally run programs help people clear away combustible materials from their properties.
Programs whereby landowners have incentives and matching grants to build defensible space around their homes. We're not in an area where timber really is much of an option. We're fairly dry, it's inaccessible, and a lot of it isn't marketable anyway. So we have different needs.
Sexton says Teton County must continually seek money to pay to cut the risks of wildfire.
We've gotten some federal money, and also with some local funding and efforts and volunteer efforts, people have gone out and set up plans for homeowners, and the homeowners pay a little bit, and then there's a matching grant for it. So it's a mixture of funding.
Sexton says the Bush administration's Healthy Forest Initiative, which aims to reduce wildfire risk by thinning the national forests, won't help communities like hers. The program would reward loggers for thinning brush by letting them cut down healthy trees. But her area has little timber of value. She says the Healthy Forest Initiative is a one-size-fits-all approach that doesn't fit her Montana county.
Tailoring funding programs and assistance to really what the communities need. We're all different. We all have different species, different climates, different concerns, and I think that letting local communities have the flexibility to see where their needs are is really the best approach.
Sexton says the federal government could provide the most effective help by providing more funding for local fire control programs. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Hello, Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Let's get down.
on the IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
So the latest atrocity by the Bush crime family against American veterans, it's just astonishing. This was in the New York Times today. The Bush thugs are seeking to block a group of American troops who were tortured in Iraqi prisons during the war in 1991 from collecting any of the hundreds of millions of dollars in frozen Iraqi assets that they won last summer in a federal court ruling against the government of Saddam Hussein. Do you understand that? These American servicemen and women went to court. They won. They were tortured. They were captured during Gulf War I. They were tortured, for Christ's sake. We have hundreds of millions of dollars in Iraqi assets frozen in this country. Now, in a court challenge that the Bush administration is winning so far, but doesn't want anyone to know about it. Bush administration lawyers have argued that Iraqi assets frozen in bank accounts in the U.S. are needed for Iraqi reconstruction. That means go in the pockets of Halliburton, Kellogg Brown and Root, and Bechtel. And that the judgment won by the 17 former American prisoners should be overturned. Can you believe this? Can you, for God's sake, believe this? Now, if this Bush administration succeeds, the former prisoners would be deprived of the money they won, and they say they'll be deprived of the validation of a judge's ruling that documented their accounts of torture by the Iraqis, including beatings, burnings, starvation, mock executions, and repeated threats of castration and dismemberment. Lieutenant Colonel Dale Storr, whose Air Force A-10 fighter was shot down by Iraqi fire in February 1991, said, quote, "I don't want to say that I feel betrayed because I still believe in my country. I've always tried to keep in the back of my mind that we're never going to see any of the money." This guy was held by the Iraqis for 33 days. During that time, he says his captors beat him with clubs, broke his nose, pissed on him, threatened to cut off his fingers if he did not disclose military secrets. And then he adds, Colonel Storr adds, "But it goes beyond frustration when I see our government trying to pretend that this whole case never happened." Another former prisoner, David Eberle, a retired Air Force colonel whose F-15 was shot down over Iraq and who said his interrogators repeatedly pointed a gun at his head and pulled the trigger on an empty chamber, said he was surprised by the Bush administration's eagerness to overturn the judgment. The colonel said, quote, "The administration wants $87 billion for Iraq. The money in our case is just a drop of blood in the bucket," end quote. Now, it goes on and on. I will post this on my website tonight or first thing in the morning. It was in the New York Times today. The Bush crime family. These are people. These are 17 U.S. service members who were tortured, for Christ's sake, tortured. They were held as prisoners. Now, let's not get into the moral rightness or immorality of dropping bombs on Iraq to begin with in 1991. That's not the issue here. They filed a lawsuit. The Bush crime family has hundreds of millions of dollars in Iraqi assets tied up in this country. And the Bush crime family wants the appeals court to overturn the money awarded to these people who were held and tortured. And you wonder why I call them sons of bitches. You wonder why I call them liars and whores and pigs and thugs. And they hate this country. And they hate the military. And they hate veterans. And you wonder why I drive myself crazy trying to figure out why anybody who wears a uniform of the United States military would support these bastards under any circumstances whatsoever. And why I wonder why this country has not seen a mutinous uprising against these people. I don't get it. I don't understand it. You were tortured? Ah, too bad. Pity. You won money? Ah, too bad. Pity. We have the assets? Ah, too bad. We need the assets. Halliburton wants the money. It's just, you can't say this is an outrage. You can't. This makes the word outrage seem like, I don't know, talking about mosquito bites. And the Bush administration doesn't want you or me or anyone to know about it. Probably the New York Times writer who wrote this will get a letter in the mail within the next 2 weeks full of anthrax spores. Or he'll commit suicide. I mean, it is so disgusting. Every time you pick up the paper, not television, television doesn't report this stuff. And you find out one more thing that this Bush administration has done against. And these bastards will be out tomorrow like flies around a pile of human excrement. These Bush administration officials, they will fly and buzz around the nearest military installation, the nearest soldier, the nearest Marine, the nearest sailor that they can find, talking about, oh, yeah, well, you know, you're just great. Yeah, God bless America. Hey, onward and upward. Hey, here we go. Let's go. These dirty pigs who abuse and spit on and urinate all over, not just the flag of the United States, but every single military uniform that anybody in this country could possibly wear. These people are crapping all over it. Do you understand that? Does it matter? Nah, it doesn't matter worth a damn. Doesn't matter worth a damn. And it just doesn't stop. Whether it's denying funds to the school districts of soldiers, whether it's cutting their VA benefits, whether it's charging them for meals while they're recovering in a hospital. I don't care what it is. These filthy animals who run this administration continue and continue and continue. And they do their dirty work under the radar. And what's a soldier going to do? Report it? Write a letter to Stars and Stripes? Hey, insubordination. You want to get thrown out of this man's army, little bastard? Shut up. Sit down. And the RPGs continue to fall and continue to hit these guys. And the landmines and the attacks and the killing. And the blowing to pieces, blowing off their limbs and burning them and killing them and slaughtering them. Our people. Forget the Iraqis. They don't count. They're less than human. They're Muslims. Think about our people. If that's how your mind works. Butchered. Every single day, another 21-year-old, another 19-year-old, another 25-year-old, another 50-year-old, somebody who joined the reserves, somebody who wanted one more year in the National Guard. Well, let me help the next time there's a hurricane or a flood or a tornado. What? What? I'm going to Iraq? A lot of things I don't understand. 99.9% of the things I observe or read about I don't understand. And right up there at the top of the list is how anybody who wears a uniform of the United States military, I don't care what branch of service it is, from the National Forest Service to combat hardened Marines, I don't understand how anyone who wears a uniform in this country can support this criminal, filthy, disgusting, corrupt administration that takes every chance it can to disrespect our soldiers, to lie to them, to cheat them, to burn them, to butcher them. God, I don't know. I used to think, well, Mike, when you get older, you'll understand this stuff. I am older. I don't understand it. I saw that in the New York Times, and I just about lost it this morning. Soldiers who were tortured by the Iraqis, held in prison. And like I say, if you want to make a case for our not having been there in 1991, go ahead. But what's done is done. These people sued, and they won. Frozen assets in this country. We don't have to go to Baghdad to get this. It sits in banks in this country. And the Bush crime family says, no, boys, you're not going to get it. That's our money. That's our money. That's our oil. That's our money. Every last bit of it. Sit down and shut up. We'll make sure you have an extra $10 in your military retirement benefits package. Now get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here, you khaki-colored bastard. Get out of here. God, I hate these people. I just, it's just beyond belief. The disrespect. I am anti-war to the bottom of my feet, but I'll tell you what. When brain-dead administrators in this country, I don't care what party they are, say it's time to go kill and be killed. And American men and women put on that uniform, and they go to do this filthy, dirty work ordered by civilians. By God, when they get out, when they come home, they had better be respected for their humanity. Screw the politics for their humanity. And this Bush crime family, more so than any administration I've ever heard of in my life, disrespects these people and treats them like dirt over and over and over and over again. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And it breaks my mind trying to understand it. How does anybody in the military, and I don't give a damn about the tradition of chain of command. We have proven over and over and over again that a military man or woman has a right, an obligation to reject an unlawful order, to resist. Oh, well. Yeah, so tomorrow's Veterans Day. And watch these pigs. Just watch these pigs. These Bush crime family pigs, the ones that make a public appearance. Watch them and listen to what they're going to say. All right, Frank, get me out of this. I'm getting too deep here, Frank.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Frank.
Good to have you back.
Yeah, okay.
I revile this treacherous bunch much more than you, Mike. I despise them.
Okay.
Much more.
Fair enough.
I applied. I was poking on the internet one day, and I applied to become a selective service member in my city. I got my packet in the mail today. Very good
for you. I hope you make it, and I hope you do what I think a lot of people are going to do who get to sit on those selective service boards, just say, gee, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to take you. Gee, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to take
you. Well, Mike, I have an 18-year-old son, so I have him and all his friends bouncing through here at all times.
Well, there you go.
And I'm going to see that they get taken care of if possible. Do what I can.
There you go.
You see the information they want me to send them. Boy, I'm going to be in their system after I fill this thing out.
And be careful with that.
I know. I'm looking it over.
Yeah, be careful with that.
Have you had a chance to look at the script of St. Ronnie, the movie?
Somebody sent it to me. I noticed on my home computer. I haven't looked at it, but I'm sure it's going to be a real eye-opener.
The good news is that it shows just what babies they really are, because there really is nothing in there that should offend anybody.
Right.
Unless the fact that it refers to Iran Contra once or twice,
yeah,
which I'm sure they don't like.
Well, I've heard there was a line in there that Reagan said something. You know, Reagan, I think 25,000 people in this country died of AIDS before the bastard even mentioned the word. And according to what I read, there was a line, fictional line, where Reagan says to his wife, well, if they live in sin, they're going to die in sin. And everybody says, okay, he didn't really say that. But other than that, that's all I know about it.
Well, she doesn't come off very good in this. She comes off as more of a jerk than he does.
Well, I think the depiction of her, from the little bit I've heard about the movie, the TV movie, the depiction of her was pretty much right on. That she has had Ronnie's testicles in the firm grip of her hand ever since she
does seem that way.
Yeah, ever since she lured him away from Jane Wyman, the woman he was married to, when Nancy shows up and starts boinking him, Nancy gets pregnant while Ronnie is married to Jane Wyman. Ronnie has to divorce Jane Wyman so he can marry this one. So, you know, all this family values crap, I don't even want to hear it. I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
It shows her slapping one of the kids, too, according to the script. So I'm sure they don't want that out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And can I just say one other thing? What was I going to say?
Sure.
Man, I forgot. No, it was good, Mike. It really was.
Well,
you hang in there, man, huh?
All right, thanks, Frank.
Bye.
All right, sir, appreciate your call. I hate that when that happens. That happens to me at least 5 times a night. What was I going to say? Ah, completely forgot. Nick is calling from Warsaw, Ohio. Nick, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Yeah, you know what I really don't like what's going on right now is they're talking about the economy improving. And if Bush is able to make the economy improve by, you know, tearing countries apart and killing people and then going in and having American corporations rebuild it,
yeah,
That is horribly criminal. I mean, my God, how can people...
I know. I think about that, too. I mentioned that the other night on this on this program. I don't think that they can do enough destruction to... those jobs are being subcontracted to people from South Asia anyway, people from Bangladesh and from India and from Malaysia. They're not helping American workers except in the defense or the offense industry, the weapons-making industry. And the thing about weapons, you got to use them. I don't think the American people are going to be suckers enough to believe that this bastard is turning around an economy when the jobs are disappearing hand over fist. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, hopefully, because if it really is happening, then I would hate to think that he could somehow succeed in giving himself another issue to run on.
I know.
Other than the defense of the country,
they're going to try to make it sound that way.
That's the only thing he's got to run on right now is national defense. Everything else is tanked for him, and rightly so. But
well, even that, if we Americans were just, I don't know, 10 IQ points brighter, we would understand that George W. Bush has put all of us at greater risk than we ever were. So
absolutely.
As far as national defense, there is no national defense. He's gutted the Constitution, he and his thugs. He's put every single American, both those of us here at home and those of us abroad, at more risk for our lives. He's jeopardized the entire republic. If these are not impeachable offenses, I don't know what the hell what are. Nick, hold on a second. I'll come back. I got to do a break here.
This cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh. So you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the charts.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by with good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Andy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we're talking with Nick in Warsaw, Ohio. Nick, thanks for holding on. Where were we?
Oh, we were talking about the economy, but I had a really interesting month. I saw lectures by Moore, Michael Moore, Ralph Nader, and Dennis Kucinich all in the past month.
Wow.
Yeah. And
your head must be almost clear by now. Almost clear.
I wish so much that Kucinich would get the nomination. He would take this little Nazi apart. He's so right on all the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And Nader said something really interesting just to show you how far the country's moved to the right.
Mm-hmm.
You remember two moderate Republican senators, Percy and Javits?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah, he said that if those guys were around today, they'd fit very comfortably into the progressive wing of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, and this is what oftentimes I refer to a time in my life when Republicans still had some honor. When it was a question of debate and contest in the public arena, Democratic ideals, Republican ideals. And
yeah.
And when I refer to that, I'm referring to people like Charles Percy or Jacob Javits, people who were members of the Republican Party but were still decent human beings. The Republican Party now is full of knaves, thugs, thieves, liars, and killers.
I agree. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Nick, thanks for checking in, pal.
Yeah. See you later.
All right, sir. Oh, and hello to Leonard O'Grady, who is listening in Ireland. Have I got time to read this real quick? Hi, Mike. I'm burning the midnight oil here in Ireland and was struck by your angry bewilderment at the Bush administration's lies and the apparent apathy of the public. Speaking as an Irish person well acquainted with the sharp end of empire, I can tell you it's Pax Americana, plain and simple. Our experience here was one of long repression, our language systematically crushed, our indigenous crafts subject to crippling tariffs, and our children enthralled to serve the machine of empire through our agriculture and cannon fodder. Sound familiar? If Ireland had oil, we'd never have shifted them. People like Rumsfeld and Bush are the Cecil Rhodeses of their age, laissez-faire freebooters who are filled with a vile cocktail of greed and messianic zeal. In their worldview, everything is a resource, a commodity to be used or improved upon, and apparently Islam is due for some Bush monkey wrenching. These people piss on history and its lessons, and it will bite us all in the ass. I hate to bring you down, but it's been almost 100 years, and Britain still has pretensions of empire and is acting as some kind of godfather to a new American mercantile empire. It will not end well, but please do not lose heart. Bless you and watch your back. Have a good Veterans Day. Leonard O'Grady. Thanks, Leonard. Program tonight engineered in Detroit by Jay Bilecki, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Mark Marshall is a webmaster at MikeMalloy.com, and many thanks to our mods there. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
That Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however, each month. You'd have
I want
a
to
different...
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victims.